keep your family safe with help from Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Kidde detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and give fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Check out all our Kidde safety products and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Banfield. This is Drop Dead Serious. Thank you so much for being here. It's really nice to have you. Don't forget to hit subscribe, the little thing right there. It would be huge to me. Thank you if you already have. And thank you if you're a member. Welcome to the Vermont Outpost. It is snowing like mad up here. I almost feel like a shut-in. It's a bit weird. I've got the fire going, and I've got lots to update you on. It's day 41 in the Nancy Guthrie investigation. It's March 13th as I record this. And I know, I took a few days off reporting Nancy Guthrie updates because, quite frankly, things were slowing down in terms of what we could learn. With the sheriff basically not telling us anything and giving no updates and certainly no news conferences for, 4 weeks. There was very little to report other than sort of insignificant things, the comings and goings, cars here, cars there, but nothing that was really, that would warrant, you know, a full episode. But then all of a sudden, this week, there's been a bunch of stuff. Weird, interesting, and then one big kahuna of a thing. So I wanted to get you up to speed on everything that's happened in the last few days. But then I want to tell you very significantly two things that I've put together with regard to what the sheriff said early in the investigation, like day two, and what the sheriff said this week, because they are 100% different, which tells me either he doesn't know what he said before or he's lying. I don't know. I am gobsmacked and frankly pissed at this sheriff for being so cavalier with the language that he's using this week and saying, yeah, I've believed that since day one. Oh, well, guess what? We went back to day one and we pulled your effing beliefs and that was not at all what you said. You said the opposite. So I'm going to get to all of that in just a moment. I'm also going to show you some of the activity around the home today. Weird things, weird. And then also 3 days ago, 2 days ago, weird things, weird. Vehicles, one very expensive one, like the kind that Donald Trump drives at Mar-a-Lago. Once he lent it to me. I know that's weird. But I was at Mar-a-Lago for ABC News doing an interview, and he said, just jump into the Maybach and they'll drive you to the airport. Okay. Anyway, it's an aside. Then some strange things that are happening with the FBI involving that restaurant that Savannah Guthrie filmed a segment with her mother for the Today Show. You've seen lots of clips of it. Savannah sitting at a table with her mom. It's the kind of thing that all of us would do. You know, working in television, we would do these segments with our families. And now maybe we'll think twice about it because who the fuck knew that this could happen? And who knows if it's related? But the FBI went to that restaurant. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. And also, some camera material has surfaced from Nancy Guthrie's home. I know. I didn't think that was going to happen, right? I figured that they'd done all they could to scratch the video. Do you remember scratching is the process that Google was using from their back-end servers to try to get through the layers of the onion to see whatever they could from February 1st when Nancy disappeared? Well, the scratching or the whatever else tech they were using to get images has produced more images. But... and there's always a but. It's weird. Like, it's just weird how they're saying it's actually pretty informative. The number of things that they could see going on around her home. Just don't get excited about it. I'll explain why in just a hot minute. And then also I want to tell you about, if you haven't already seen it, I want to make sure you do see it. A segment that's resurfaced, actually, big props to Megyn Kelly and her program and her producers for having unearthed a segment from, I think, 2013, where Savannah Guthrie did a live shot from the Today Show set in New York to her mom in her mom's bedroom. And it was a cute segment that the Today Show would do about how to make your bed, how to make the perfect bed. And the person who was showing them how to make the perfect bed was Nancy Guthrie in her bedroom. And why it's so significant is because the sheriff and investigators in the FBI have been very tight-lipped about Nancy Guthrie's bedroom. And clearly she was abducted after 1:47 in the morning, likely, which is kind of the middle of the night for many. And although the sheriff said early on she was abducted from her bed in the middle of the night, he then retracted that the next day, said, didn't think he would take me literally. I'm pulling that back. And, you know, we all as reporters pulled it back. But then Savannah Guthrie did a video herself. And in the video, she said, quite literally, my mother was taken from her bed in the darkness of night. So we are left to assume that that is where the abduction happened, is out of the bedroom. And that's why this particular video that the Today Show did in 2013 is so significant, because now we may actually be seeing the scene of the crime or where the crime may have actually begun. So let me just get down to business on what we have, you know, collected over the last couple of days. Significant reporting, actually. ABC News says that it's got sources that have told them that investigators have been able to pull additional imagery off of Nancy's cameras. Here's why I'm so interested in this, apart from the obvious. Because up until now, we've never really known how many cameras were outside of Nancy's home. We knew for sure the camera was at the front, right? The doorbell cam, the Nest cam, which I believe I brought you on day 3, that it was a Nest cam. So we know that, and of course captured the images of the suspect. But we didn't know what else she had. We knew that the investigators had not taken the outdoor camera that was up on the casita, like the pool house. And then several days later, we could see them up there dismantling it and taking it. It's like, that was a couple days late. Anyway, so we knew that one existed. We did not know for sure if there was a garage camera. We did not know if there was a back doorbell camera. But now ABC has actually recovered some of this really interesting information. Okay, so I can tell you that there were cameras that pointed to the swimming pool. I'm assuming that's the one that they missed and got later. I don't know, maybe not. There were cameras pointing towards the backyard. That could also be the camera, right, that they got later up on the casita, or maybe it was the back of the house pointing towards the pool. Don't know. There was a camera pointing to the side yard. Okay, well, side yard is a tricky one, because there's a backyard and a pool, and it's all in the back of the house. Then there's the casita, and then there's kind of the driveway into the garage, which might be considered a side yard, because it's certainly the side of the house. I don't know what the reference to side yard is. Nothing says specifically that there's a garage cam, but I still wonder how they know exactly when the cameras went, when the garage door went up and down the night that Nancy Guthrie was dropped off. Does the garage door itself record that? Maybe, probably. Was there a camera pointing that way that recorded that? Maybe, don't know. But I am interested to hear that the recovered images that ABC source says that they got were from cameras pointed at the swimming pool, the backyard, and the side yard. So those are three cameras that we know images were recovered from. We do not know if there were additional cameras that maybe they got nothing from. Okay? So I'm still curious about additional outdoor cameras, what kind of security Nancy may have had. So it's a bit of a bummer, though. I'm not going to lie. When I first saw the news, I thought, oh, dear God, thank you. Finally, you know, more leads to go on with this monster. Maybe they've captured him doing something else. Certainly, maybe they were able to find out if there's an accomplice or not. I'm still going with not. And that's just my theory, not at all what the police are saying. I just see that person looks very, very much the same in the images that are now apparent, according to sources, on two different nights. So they could not recover actual surveillance video, according to ABC. What they did get were something called reduced size thumbnail images captured whenever the cameras were triggered by motion. So you get your little tiny thumbnail, and whatever they were able to, you know, ascertain from these small images that just captured one image the minute the trigger went off. And you know how that can, like, the trigger can go off and it's like a little delayed, so it might not have actually captured the thing that went through it. That's frustrating. But they did not, and this is important, those cameras did not capture anything investigators currently consider suspicious. Currently. Remember that. So what they did see, and this is super interesting, what they did see, several people in Nancy's backyard and in her side yard during an unspecified period of time that happened before the abduction, February 1st. So this is from a period before February 1st.
people, backyard, side yard. And some of these images are also captured after Nancy's abduction. They said that law enforcement officers can actually be seen in some of these images. So, you know, I'm confused a little bit only because if law enforcement is there, maybe it's the day when they're just determining, you know, what's happening, what they don't think happened, what they do think happened, when they start to realize, holy shit, let's get some homicide people in here. In any case, there are these just little reduced size thumbnail images, but law enforcement is seen. So that's definitely after Nancy went missing. And they said that those officers can be seen near the pool. So backyard, the camera either that points to the backyard or the casita, the camera that points to the backyard. I can't tell you which one this is, but here's the really big gut punch. ABC says its source tells them the cameras captured, quote, nothing on the night that Nancy Guthrie was abducted. What a piss off. I'm going to still hold out hope, though, because I think that work maybe is ongoing, that they're still trying to scratch. Maybe they're still trying to get those layers of the onion of the video that, you know, without the subscription, PSA, folks, please get a subscription if you have a security or a doorbell cam. It's not that much money, and my God, it can mean the difference, you know, between holding people accountable or even finding you if you're taken. So that's the ABC News reports of these new images that supposedly were captured. I also cannot tell you how new. This information could be new to ABC, but it may not be new information. This may be stuff that's already been around for a bit. Don't know, but I just like the idea that there are these images of people in the backyard and the side yard, because that helps, right? Because you're going to look at all contractors, you're going to check all people, and maybe there was somebody in the backyard doing something that they had not considered before. You know, based on the amount of crime that I cover, you gotta go through all the contractors. Too many crimes have been the contractors. I've been somebody in the contractors, somebody who's a transient worker. I mean, Elizabeth Smart, for fuck's sake, was taken by this scumbag who came in to do some handyman work. Yeah? So you gotta look at those folks, because they come in and they get a real close-up look at you, your family, your shit, and everything. So maybe there's an image of somebody who's there in the backyard, side yard, who maybe they didn't know about before. I'm hopeful. Okay. Also, this is what Matt Finn from Fox News reports. I'm just going to quote Matt. He's been doing some great reporting, and I miss him that he's not doing it all the time now, because, again, the details are dwindling. It's very sad. Day 41. Matt says this, quote, "A law enforcement official close to the Guthrie case tells Fox News this afternoon that new photos have been recovered from all three cameras on Nancy Guthrie's property." It says all three. I just don't know if it's all or if there's still others that, you know, maybe we didn't know about, or that maybe C might not know about. I'm not sure that it's all, like that's it. But as ABC reports, and he says that includes the front door camera, the driveway, and the backyard. So this is different wording. The driveway, to me, you know, it's hard to tell if this is the, again, the front doorbell cam goes out to the driveway. It's a long way out, but you can see it. Or if it's the driveway out the garage. Don't know. Fox is told these images do show people in cars. Cars, that's good to know as well. Thank you. Cars, hopefully license plates as well. But currently nothing is considered suspicious. Currently. As you're investigating, may become suspicious. You don't know. No arrests, etc. These images were captured in the days and weeks leading up to Nancy's disappearance on February 1st. But, in capital letters, but, federal investigators have so far been unable to recover new images from the critical hours on the actual night and early morning that Nancy went missing. Fox is told that the FBI does not have plans to release these new photos at this time. If there was a reason to share these images with the public, the FBI would, end quote. Obviously, they're just saying right now, we got pictures of people, but right now, we don't know if these people, that we got to put the APB out, right? We don't know that we need to crowdsource this. Okay, so here, though, is the thing that's right under my skin, in my craw. Obviously, every time Sheriff Chris Nanos gives an interview, which is, you know, sporadic and selective, to say the least, I hang on every word, because we don't get a lot of words. There's no press conferences. They have stopped giving out the regular, well, semi-regular briefs that they were giving out, media briefs. And whenever he speaks, every time there's just something else that doesn't make sense or is in direct contradiction to something else he has said. And woo, what a humdinger this one was. Okay? This one was a mofo of a humdinger. He said something this week that is in direct conflict with what he said in the first hours after Nancy disappeared. Get to that in a moment. First, quick note from my sponsor. If your teenager is glued to their phone 8 hours a day, barely sleeping, obsessing over how they look, please stop and listen. We used to think that this was just a phase, but there are new reports that suggest these platforms may have been designed to keep your kids addicted. I'm talking about anxiety spikes, body dysmorphia, and the rage that you see when you try to take their phone away. Believe me, I have lived this, and it has been so frustrating, and I have felt so alone. This is not bad parenting. This is an algorithm trained to keep them hooked, maybe even at any cost. And honestly, it is heartbreaking to watch these kids struggle. Well, there's finally legal steps, though, that are being taken to fight and hold these platforms accountable. And if this sounds like you and your family, do not ignore it. Check the link below. It takes only 60 seconds to see if you qualify for help. Okay, so Chris Nanos, the sheriff of Pima County, did an interview with, who else? NBC News. They seem to be getting all the interviews lately. Again, selective interview, no notice to the rest of us. And then we keep getting the response, and the sheriff won't be giving any interviews. And then, boom, he does with someone, one person. Okay, and this is critical because he said something in this interview that stood out like a freaking sore thumb. He said effectively that he believes he knows why the suspect did this. If you're seeing me blink multiple times, it's because I'm gobsmacked. We believe we know why he did this, and we believe that it was targeted. I'm sorry, that would say motive. You know what the motive of this monster was. That would be big. That would be massive, because the rest of us have been wondering in this mystery, how did he do it? Why did he do it? Nothing seems to point to the why. What's in the backpack? You know, all sorts of possible theories, awful ones, and all of it's awful, but some more awful than others. But there's the sheriff now saying, we believe we know why he did this. And what stands out even more is the reporter says, so it gives you a sense of motive here and why the person did this. And the sheriff says, yeah, I think it's come out from day one. I think from day one, we had strong beliefs about what happened, and those beliefs haven't diminished. Do what now? Really? Okay. And the sheriff went on to say, don't think for a minute that because it happened to the Guthrie family, you're safe. No, keep your wits about you. Basically saying to us in the public, and certainly to people in the smaller Tucson area of that neighborhood and the greater Tucson area, that there's a risk out there, that there is a risk to the public. Don't think for a minute that because it happened to the Guthrie family, you're safe. No, keep your wits about you. He goes on to say it in a whole bunch of other ways as well, meaning, yeah, there's a danger to the community with this guy out there. Okay. Because on day two, you told us the exact opposite, Sheriff Nanos, and you didn't just say it once. You told us there's no danger to the community. So what the actual is going on when you say that, yeah, I think it's come out from day one. I think from day one, we had strong beliefs about what happened. And there's a danger to the community. Because on day two, you told us there was no danger to the community. So what did you know on day one? Because it seems now on day 41, you do not have the same beliefs as day one. Let me just play you the NBC interview, and then I'm going to play you what he actually said on day two. Take a look.
Do you think that this suspect could strike again, whoever did this?
Well, absolutely. We believe we know why he did this, and we believe that it was targeted, but we're not 100% sure of that. And so it'd be silly to tell people, yeah, don't worry about it. You're not his target. Don't think for a minute that because it happened to the Guthrie family, you're safe. No, keep your wits about you.
There is something that's come out in the investigation that gives you a sense of motive here and why this person did this?
You know, I think it's come out from day one. I think from day one, we had some strong beliefs about what happened, and those beliefs haven't diminished.
Do you believe it was a burglary gone wrong?
I'm not going to get into those theories. We have our beliefs. Everybody else has theirs.
Is there still hope that this mixed DNA will be able to be identified?
Absolutely. That's going to get us to somebody, we hope. There was a timeline when things went offline. So we're looking into them. Why did that occur? We check with our power companies. We check with others in the neighborhood.
And that's beyond just the fact that the suspect took the camera off.
Correct.
All right, so that's the NBC interview, but he also gave a nice selected interview to one of the locals, KVOA, and I believe that's where Savannah Guthrie started her broadcasting career after deciding that she didn't want to practice law anymore but wanted instead to go into broadcasting and eventually ended up at Court TV, which was legal broadcasting. By the way, quick aside, Savannah and I once talked at Court TV about her background in law, and she actually worked on the Enron case. So if you're ever wondering just what kind of a lawyer Savannah Guthrie was when she was practicing, she was a hell of a good lawyer. She worked on one of the most prominent cases, you know, back in the day with Ken Lay and Enron. Remember that case? And then she moved on to be a legal journalist and then obviously this titan of broadcasting on the Today Show. So KVOA, which is, again, I believe Savannah's first broadcasting job, the reporter asked this question: for those in the community worried about their safety because the suspect has not been arrested, what is your message to them? And this is what the sheriff answered back.
Messages to everybody, putting this case aside, if you know, I understand we live in a beautiful area and nice clean air and people like to have their windows open at night. I would tell you, because I'm just a cop, don't do that. Lock your windows. Lock your doors. If you've got a security system, you know, I've learned from this. I have a security system too. Make sure you've got that recording that's not just recording itself over and over and over again. A subscription, maybe a cloud server. I don't know, but I'm saying take a look at your security system.
Well, okay then. So we should all be concerned because there's a monster, you know, in our midst. Okay. That's not what you said on day one. On day one, I should say day two. On day two, which was Monday, after the Sunday that Nancy Guthrie disappeared, you gave a press conference and you assured us all that there's nothing to worry about. There's no boogeyman out there. There's nothing to be concerned about. No cause for alarm, no risk to the community. And again, you said you had a handle on things day one. Why did you say that? Why did you believe there was no risk to the community on day one? Because just this week, you have said quite literally, Sheriff Nanos, that I think it's come out from day one. I think from day one, we had strong beliefs about what happened. And you should be concerned about what's happening. There's a danger out there in the community. This is what you're saying this week. So don't take it from me. Don't let me paraphrase the good sheriff. Let me play you what Chris Nanos, the sheriff of Pima County, said in his first press conference on Monday, that day two of the Nancy Guthrie investigation. Here's what he said.
Well, you know, no, I don't think there's an active threat, but I hate to say that because, you know, we're going to canvass that neighborhood and maybe there's a prowler been seen around. There's a lot of work still to do. We don't have any indication that that the public is in danger.
So that's what Sheriff Nanos said on day two of this investigation. Nothing to worry about. No concern out there for the public. No, nothing to worry about. But, you know, on week six, instead, he is saying absolutely there's a concern to the public out there. And we've known since day one what this person was doing and what he had planned to do when he was in there. We've known effectively motive. My words, not his. But you heard me. You heard him. So what the hell is it? You've known since day one what the suspect was doing there and that there's a concern to the public? Then why didn't you say that on day one and day two? Why did you tell us, no worries, no concern? And why did my sources tell me what your focus was on day one? You towed the brother-in-law's car. Then you searched their house. You called off the search for Nancy Guthrie. You turned over the scene and you told the public there was nothing to worry about. What changed, Sheriff Nanos? did we have nothing to worry about on day one because your beliefs were something else? Or did you not believe since day one that there was a danger to the community out there and that you've known all along what the motive is? I don't understand you anymore, and I don't feel like I can trust what you say. And this is not the first time I've said that and had to say that because of these competing statements and competing wisdoms. Just be straight with us. And I get it. Look, I've been a crime reporter for 38 freaking years. I get it. You can't always say things, but then don't say them. You know, like if you can't say things to protect an investigation, don't go yammering on and saying conflicting things, because that just makes us think you don't know what you're doing. And when someone's life is at stake, and maybe the prosecution of someone who might have done something to that person, when all of that is at stake, we need to have faith in you and your abilities. This doesn't give us that faith. Which brings me to another topic. Brian Enten reported, I think last week, that the FBI had gone back to the restaurant where Savannah Guthrie and her mom filmed a Today Show segment. It was such an adorable segment. You've seen it on a loop by now. This beautiful lunch that she's having with her mom. It's upsetting to watch it now, knowing what this family has gone through. But that restaurant was called El Charro. And Brian Enten reported that the FBI agents went back to El Charro to start asking some questions, right? They were asking employees if they remembered seeing anybody while the Today Show was there filming that segment with Savannah and her mom. So the FBI came back, according to Brian Enten, and said, did you see anything strange? Anybody who was hanging around who didn't fit, right? Anybody who was watching the filming. And then they said, apparently, Enten said that the agents reportedly wanted to know if anybody seemed overly interested in that segment being filmed. Did they try to take pictures of that segment being filmed? Did anybody get angry during the filming of that segment? Was anybody lingering in a way that felt creepy or off? I bring that back up because if the FBI is there at that restaurant asking about anybody acting weird, then what is Sheriff Dano saying when he says, oh, we've known from day one, you know, what this guy was up to, why he was there, why he targeted. But then you get the FBI over at the restaurant. Once again, just hard to make sense of anything. But given that Savannah Guthrie said, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe three at this point, I can't remember, but probably 2.5 or so, that my mother was taken from her bed in the middle of the night, in the dark of night. It harkens back once again to Sheriff Nanos saying early on she was taken from her bed in the middle of the night. That was printed, and then he retracted it all, suggesting that, oh, I didn't think you were going to take me literally. Yes, Sheriff, we do take law enforcement literally when they say facts like that. It's important. That would be a big part of a story where a woman was abducted. You said she was taken from her bed. That is a different element. She wasn't taken because she accidentally interrupted somebody burglaring her, you know, burglarizing her or stealing some things of hers. You said she was taken from her bed in the middle of the night. Changes everything, right? And then you retracted it. And then Savannah said it weeks later. So it makes me think your retractions aren't worth anything either. And then Megyn Kelly's team at Megyn Kelly Media said that they found a segment from the Today Show from 2013 when Savannah Guthrie and her colleagues on the Today Show went live to Nancy Guthrie's bedroom. It's only significant because if something happened in that bedroom, you now have an image of where that bed is, where a window is nearby, and what is also in the area of that bed, because the early alleged ransom seeker said that he or she knew something about the inside of Nancy Guthrie's bedroom. And I think the early reporting may have said that there was an Apple Watch on the bedside table. Oh, thanks, Captain Obvious. How many of us charge our watches on our bedside tables? In any case, this shows you the bedroom, the bedside table, a nearby window, etc. So here's what Megyn Kelly was able to unearth from the Today Show from 2013.
My mom is up early in Tucson, Arizona. Nancy Guthrie joins us now. Hi, Mom. Good morning.
Hi, Savannah. Well, I see
everybody.
Hi, Mom. Good morning.
I see that you've already made your bed, even though it's 3 a.m. there or whatever.
Exactly.
Mom, why was this an important skill to teach me?
I think everybody needs to know how to make a bed, and so when the time came to teach you guys how to make a bed, this is what I tried to teach you.
Now,
anyway,
this is not just your standard bed making. This is the hospital corner's bed making. We're talking you can bounce a quarter off of it, right, Nancy?
Natalie, don't put me to the test. It's way too early.
She's backing off.
Nancy, I just want to know how difficult Savannah was when you tried to teach her this. How much screaming and stomping her feet was involved?
All three of the kids thought it was a really worthless skill.
So, Mom, first you show everybody how to do it, okay? And then you can judge how we do it.
Okay, that sounds like a plan. Well, basically, since my bed's already made, the most important thing you have to do is to make sure this top sheet is really pulled in here tightly, because that's going to give you your smooth corner.
And the tuck under.
Then you pull this over, and you make kind of like a triangle.
Triangle, I remember
with your top sheet.
Don't get started yet.
And then you tuck it under as tightly as you can. But here's the little skill. See this nice corner?
Yeah.
You want to make sure that's as tight as can be.
Okay.
You tuck it in.
And you can keep cookies
in there. Then when you sleep, there you go.
And then
so when you sleep in the
quarter.
Middle of the night, it doesn't pull out.
All right.
That's because for David,
right.
This would
He's
be a toy bed.
That's good.
That's a
Mom, thank you so much. It's so good to see you. Thanks for coming on the show. I know
what
it's early there.
Honey.
Thank
you. It's really
early.
Bye-bye.
So that is a fascinating look at what may be the epicenter of this crime. We don't know, right? If we take Savannah at her word, her literal words, my mother was taken from her bed in the darkness of night. Presumably that is the bed. She's still living in the same house since 2013. Yes, I know it's 2026, but many of us haven't changed much in our homes that we live in for this many years. Maybe it looks a little different, but we do know it's the same home. Was that the same setup? Was that the same bedside table, bed, window right next? Don't know that. Just one more piece of the puzzle. Also wanted to tell you about some activity at Nancy Guthrie's home yesterday and Wednesday. So I'm recording this on Friday, so it would be Wednesday the 11th of March and Thursday the 12th of March. Let me start with the 11th of March. A live streamer named JLR who, listen, lots of people have had complaints about JLR for being intrusive, but I'll tell you, he has been dogged in his coverage. When everybody else left, JLR did not. And oftentimes he gives the bird's eye view of what's happening visually. Doesn't matter what he's reporting. You can see what he's actually pointing his camera to. And JLR saw activity at Nancy's home on Wednesday that was batshit crazy. A white Maybach showed up. And if you know anything about Maybachs, they expensive. They very expensive. Like I said earlier, I rode in one. Donald Trump had one. I had a couple of them at Mar-a-Lago, and I rode in one. And they're stunning. And lots of money. And this white Maybach showed up at Nancy's home. And then Brian Enten told me it had been seen there multiple times. Interesting. But then also a white Hyundai showed up. And here's the weird progression of events, the way I understand it. And if I've got it wrong, please tell me in the comments. The way I understand it, these vehicles show up. They're there for better part of an hour plus. And then the garage door goes up and the blue Subaru comes out, which we only know that Nancy Guthrie had a blue Subaru and that it was towed away on a flatbed. We do not know if it was ever returned, but it seemed that it was now leaving the property and nobody really saw it come in. But three vehicles left the property, the blue Subaru, the white Maybach, and the white Hyundai. And JLR believed he thought it looked like Nancy Guthrie's son, Cam, that's Savannah's older brother, driving Nancy's vehicle. It's hard to say whether it was or if it wasn't, but that's what JLR thought he saw and he was the closest. The camera angles can't really catch it, but just odd, that kind of thing happening. Also because as far as vehicles that have been seized under warrant in this case, the very first one to our knowledge that was seized was Annie Guthrie's vehicle, and it has not yet been returned. As of this recording, March 13th, the questions have been asked by multiple reporters. Is Annie Guthrie's vehicle being returned? Sheriff Nanos confirmed on Thursday, which I think was day five, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, day five, that Annie Guthrie's car had been seized under a warrant and was being processed. That was how he put it in his press conference. My source told me on day three, Tuesday, that Annie Guthrie's car had been seized and was in evidence. So after that, the next vehicle that we heard about that was seized under a warrant was this silver Range Rover, because there was a raid on a home close to Nancy Guthrie's home on February 13th into February 14th, and that silver Range Rover was towed from a restaurant parking lot where another dweller of the home, the son of the homeowner, was picking up food apparently, and was detained in that parking lot, and his silver Range Rover was taken under warrant on a flatbed. That vehicle has since been returned, I think a week and a half ago, maybe more. But Annie Guthrie's car has not. Several reporters were told it's in the process of being returned. Annie Guthrie's car is in the process of being returned. And here we are, I think a week to a week and a half after hearing that, still not returned. But the silver Range Rover has been. It was seized 2 weeks after Annie Guthrie's was seized, and it was returned already for the last 2 weeks. I think they only had it for 2 weeks. And look, I don't know what other vehicles might have been seized. Possibly the first raid that happened, Rico, remember that poor guy, the DoorDash driver? I'm not sure if they seized his vehicle, but to our knowledge, they don't seem to have his stuff. It's just really odd. I can't make heads or tail of it, but it is a strange, you know, occurrence that maybe Nancy Guthrie's blue Subaru has been returned as well. If that is the vehicle that we saw coming out of her garage and driving out of the property, I can't tell you if it is or if it isn't. All I know is that she had a blue Subaru. It was towed out of her garage, and a blue Subaru drove out of the property Wednesday, February 11th. Thursday, the next day, February 12th, two vehicles show up from the electric company. And I think it's the Sovereign Electric. Yeah, Sovereign Electric. Two vehicles from the Sovereign Electric Company showed up. Then a blue, like a navy blue Kia showed up as well, drove into the driveway. 3 hours later, again, that's a long time to be there, but 3 hours later, the electric company staff, I assume that they are the electric company staff, are on the roof of Nancy Guthrie's home, and they've got some big, long pole and bent in one area. I cannot tell you what that is. If you know, please tell me in the comments. But they're up there mucking about with this very long pole-like device. That's Thursday. Also on Thursday, something else happens, but not at Nancy's home. There is a wash, which in Arizona, they call it a wash. Other people call it drainage ditches. But I think, you know, for spring, big rainstorms, it helps the runoff, you know, for flooding in the desert. But anyway, in one of these wash divots or gullies behind Annie and Tommaso's home, that's Annie Guthrie and Tommaso, her husband's home, a wash behind their home, JLR, again, the live streamer, found a pair of tan pants, size 12, NYCC, women's size 12, NYCC brand, which I think is New York Clothing Company, and a knee brace. They told the police about it. We don't know what happened. We have seen pictures of Nancy Guthrie wearing tan pants on the Today Show set. No idea if these are connected, if they are at all, if they're Nancy Guthrie's pants, we don't know. But it is super interesting that the person who was with JLR, I think his name was Jim, said that they were partially buried, that they were, you know, we had to sort of unearth them, spotted them, but had to unearth them. And all I can think of is like, why? Why hasn't there been such extensive searching around Nancy and Annie's homes, given the fact that on day fucking two, Sheriff Nanos called off the search? Why? Why would you do that? Because there's these tan pants that are partially buried now. How long does it take to get partially buried? Once again, you got to get me off the ledge, because it's like, if there had been the kind of searching that there's been, say, in, oh, I don't know, like General Neil McCaslin, who's missing in neighboring New Mexico, there are teams from all over the place, all over the U.S. government, even an Air Force base, helping to search. did not seem that was the case in Nancy Guthrie. And here JLR is on week six, finding these tan pants and the knee brace in a wash behind Annie's home. Could it have been there in the last few weeks? I don't know. Maybe. But again, Jim said that they were somewhat buried. To our knowledge, there has been rain. Nothing that seems torrential. Certainly Brian Enten's been there every day for 41 days, trust me. And he has not reported once that there's been some torrential rain. They've had some rainy days, but not that would flood a wash. Maybe it would help to bury something. I don't know. But again, where are the search parties? For Nancy and for evidence, right? Something else I wanted to bring up, and I know many of you have talked about this in various discussion groups, chat groups. There's a photograph that was taken out in front of Nancy Guthrie's home in the first few days. And the reason I know it's in the first few days is because there's a blue shirt. We've all talked about this before. It's an L.L. Bean shirt in, like, just dropped on the front sidewalk, to the side of the front sidewalk at Nancy's home. And many of us said, well, what was that? And eventually we were finally told, oh, oops, it was law enforcement accidentally left it there. And I believe the story back then in the first few weeks of this terrible tragedy was that canines were using one of Nancy's shirts, obviously, to get the scent and then try to follow the scent. And then they may have just left that there and then accidentally left and packed up and left Nancy's shirt on the front sidewalk. They got wise to it quickly and collected it and took it away, but not before pictures captured that blue shirt sitting there. So there's an image showing that blue shirt. Again, this is just in the first few days because that's how long that shirt was there, just the first few days. And if you look at the track marks in the driveway, at first glance, you might think those are tire tracks. But then if you look real closely, they're too narrow. They look like they are not tire tracks because tire tracks would be farther apart. So these tracks were in that driveway in those first few days. They weren't made by all the different vehicles that rolled in, the flower delivery and the contract, the pool cleaner and all the other people who have shown up since. But they were there. And so it begs the question, have the police considered what those tracks were made by? I can think, for one, when the police showed up on Feb 1 to do their initial investigation and then suddenly said, holy shit, something big happened, there's blood, and they called in the homicide unit, that it's possible maybe a CSI team had a trolley of gear that they wanted to take into that home. Maybe the FBI did in the first day, again, second day. The second day, the FBI showed up on the second day. But the Pima County Homicide Division was there on day one, on Feb 1. So maybe they had a trolley that they dragged along the driveway to bring in to the front door, or maybe to the back or to the garage, because it looks like kind of trolley wheels, equipment trolley wheels. But there's another possibility. What if, I don't know about you, but I have two large garbage cans that are on wheels. One is for garbage and the other is for recycle, not unlike most of America. And when you tilt them down and you drag them on those wheels, that's about the width. What if the perpetrator used one of maybe Nancy's garbage cans, if she has them, I can assume she does, I don't know, to drag Nancy to a vehicle down that driveway? It's possible. Is it something that the police are considering? Have they already considered it and ruled it out? Are the garbage cans still there? Did she have them? That I know the family would know if she's got these, you know, garbage cans. But it's just it's a fascinating aspect of the investigation that I know many of you have discussed, but I just don't know where the police are with that and if they've considered whether those garbage cans have any evidence inside them. Did they even look? Because my God, that scene was processed fast and released, right? Day two, released. Did the FBI then afterwards take a gander, take a look at garbage cans? If they're still there, is there any evidence inside them? I don't know. But it's, again, it's just a very, very astute observation from a lot of eagle-eyed sleuthers who have seen things and dated them based on blue shirt. So that's where things stand. I had so many questions specifically about the comments made by Sheriff Nanos that, He seems to know what the motive is, at least from his words, that he seems to know why this person did this. We believe we know why he did this. I'm quoting his words, not mine. We believe we know why he did this, and we believe that it was targeted. I think it's come out from day one. I think from day one, we had strong beliefs about what happened, and those beliefs haven't diminished, the sheriff says. What the actual F, right? Because those are statements that are strident. But that's where things stand on day 41. I want to remind you of a date that just I can't shake. And it's day 47. We are 6 days away from day 47 in this case. And the reason I find day 47 important is because it's my benchmark of when they caught Brian Koberger, right? On day 41 of Brian Koberger, we all felt in the dark too. We weren't. They knew who they were after and they were chasing him. But the rest of us in the public thought, are they ever going to find anybody in connection with the Idaho murders? And they did on day 47. So we're 6 days away. Will it happen before then? Who knows? But every day you get closer and then beyond that date, you know, it feels hopeless. It's not, but it feels that way. And as the updates and the leads dwindle and the coverage dwindles, which means the leads dwindle, it just gets that much more upsetting. I will continue to follow this for you, and we will do everything we can, despite the sheriff keeping it from us and making it very difficult for us to do our jobs. And as I say every day, if you have any information about this monster, 1-800-CALL-FBI. Somebody knows something. There's $1.2 million on the line for you. If you call and you help solve this case, $1.2 million. How about that? That's incentive. Your life is not going to change if this is your boyfriend or ex-boyfriend or pal. That guy's not going to do anything for you. There's no honor among thieves. There's no honor among people like that. But your life could change 1.2 million ways. 1-800-CALL-FBI. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you for listening. And remember, the truth isn't just serious. It's drop-dead serious.